come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. We come, O God, and submit ourselves to the one who was, who is, and is to come, the one for whom nothing is too difficult, the great I am, the bright and morning star, the one who is able to redeem our life from corruption, the resurrection and the life. We come before you, O God. He said the hour is come and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall live. We ask you, O God, that you fill us with your voice, and we ask that you cause us to live. Take absolute control, O God. Ask that you grant utterance. I have no capacity of myself. But we ask that you feed your people. We ask that you confirm us as your inheritance. We ask that you show unto us your loving kindness by providing pasture as our great shepherd for us to be equipped and fed and made wise unto salvation. These things we ask, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I like this book. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I really don't know what direction to take, so let us all be encouraged. It's nice to see you. So let's all be encouraged. I trust the Lord to just give help. So I'll just share different thoughts and see how the Lord would lead it. But it's basically to just encourage each and every one of us, which has been the undertone of the message that has been coming, how that we should not look at ourselves. We should basically, if we look at the full extent of the gospel, the Bible says they are without excuse, because nobody should say, there's no reason why anybody should not be optimal. Let's become Salah for a bit. Let's say he's like a beast, you know, he's doing very well in the Holy Ghost. There's no reason why everybody should not do well in the Holy Ghost, especially because of all the provisions that God has made available. So then Paul will say that we should be faithful stewards of his grace, something like that. So there is a grace made available, but we must all be able to understand it and make good use of it so that we can become. I was talking to my wife, what day? When was I talking to you? Yesterday, I think. And I was saying, you know, if anybody is struggling, even if you are an unbeliever, you just pick up the Bible. It's very interesting the way the Lord arranged it. When you flip the first page, let me say, let me just read the Bible and open from the first page. And then say, okay, Genesis chapter 1. Like, the first couple sentences there should tell you something about God. Because there's a general opinion that God is, you know, it's very mean. He's just up there. That's if he exists. He's us up there and he does not really care about what we go on here. Or somebody will feel like, I've done so many bad things, I just cannot approach God. And some people feel it's easier to think that God does not exist because of how much I would have to deal with if I dare to imagine the fact that he exists. All these things. But when you open the Bible, it's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then it now tells you, well, see what's up. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But what was his reaction? He said, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So then God says, come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before this person who, when faced with a situation where the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, his reaction was, let there be light. And he was. So, as we go through this journey and we are many times faced with just ourselves and sometimes how different we may seem from the word that we profess, in the sense that glorious things are actually spoken, and those things are an encouragement, but sometimes they could intimidate you because you look at yourself and then not really, I'm supposed to be a fountain of living water, I'm supposed to be gushing, but then you are, but then you look at yourself like, well, that level is living water, you just look at yourself, but then you should always just factor in the knowledge of God and regroup and say, ah, but he could have just banished the whole project. Because it's a different thing, without form, without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, yet God said. And if you look at the Greek, I'm sure the piece can correct me if I'm wrong here. If you look at the Greek and you see the principle of the spoken word, it actually speaks of the fact that he sent his spirit to go forth into that situation and to be light in the midst of it. So it now begins to give us a clue. I'm about to drift, but drifting is my kind. It's always good to come out and give. And there's a principle of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I like to be as real as possible so that everybody, what says the scripture? He says, please don't remind me of where I was. I'm about to go somewhere else. He says that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Who does not believe this? Put up your hand if you have a mind. So everybody believes it. So we are all heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Meaning, just as Christ is marvelous and inherits many lovely things, so also we have inherited. We join him to inherit. If that's the case, then it means there are aspects of God that Nonso is responsible to manifest and contribute to her generation. Before her generation, her family, the body she's part of, and the city, the nation, generation. So every one of us, you need to be awakened to that reality that I am not here by chance. I am a heir of God. I mean, joint heir with Christ. There's an aspect of God that has my name written. And it's mine to manifest. To Daniel, he said, don't worry, at the end of the age, you will stand in your lot. So each person has a lot in God. If you take God as a huge portion of land, the promised land, the way it was demarcated to the nations of Israel, and even within those tribes, there are families, and within those families, there are families, and then there are also, each person still has his own land. So also, we have portions in God. And so the question is, what is your portion?
That's it.
You're supposed to take your portion and contribute it to the body, contribute it to your generation. So let no man just feel I'm a passerby, or I'm just a receiving, I'm just receiving, just, you know. But each person should live a life of finding. What do you think of the scripture where it would look, and I think it's Psalm 29, where it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. It's like, what's his name? Gideon. The angel just came to him and said, thou mighty man of valor, speaking to him with the estate he can see in the spirit. Or more so, he's coming to him to preach the gospel to him of what God sees of him. Just like in Genesis, God did not come and negotiate with the darkness. Ah, but you are dark, child. And this is your food, that form. He just came, it's the gospel. He came to profess good news. But this is an active good news. It's not just news. It's in news that changes reality. He said, let there be. This is your new reality. Let there be. And there was. So he came and says, thou mighty man of valor. To Mary, he says, this is here, I didn't pay for it. Blessed are them among women.
Blessed
is the
fruit
of your womb, that's it. Let's go there.
Yeah,
right. This is first thing. This is where he started talking about it. Continue. 29. And the angel said, fear not, for that next. And behold, that shall pass thee from the Lord, my brethren, his son, his name shall be Jesus. Now let's see 32. Okay, 33. 34. Okay, good. So basically, there was a way I thought about it, man. I just want to remember the exact verses. But the principle of releasing the word and the spirit goes with it. At this point, Mary basically conceived. She received seed of the spirit because she received seed of the Holy Ghost at that very instance when the gospel was preached to her. It says, if you go to 32, I think. No, 31, I guess. It says, behold, thou shalt conceive and in thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Jesus. That's a declaration unto her. As she opened up the womb of her spirit, she received at that very instance. So the Lord comes and communicates the gospel to us in a way. Once you understand the power of the Creator, you have to magnify him in the way you react to situations, and then you come before him and expose yourself to his word, and it changes you. Amen. I said you should remind me of somewhere I was going.
You were talking about the word of gospel to darkness.
Yeah.
And you said that word in itself is light. And yeah, went into the midst of darkness to begin to reorganize it.
Yes, I know. There was another one.
Who else can remember what else he said?
You said the spirit of light.
He sent his spirit to go forth into the situation and to be like. That was the last thing he said before you changed.
At that point I said, let us remember.
That's the last thing he said.
Because you changed two times to remember.
Okay. Is it what he said? We are ends of God and joint heirs of Christ.
Don't God will help us. Okay, so basically that was just a preamble to just encourage us. The burden in my heart, I'm not sure how to title it, but it came across, the way you can receive it, but now package it very nicely, like, whoa. But then I'll just say it as it is. It began in, I think it's Isaiah, I could read that part, and then we'll come to... From verse 22, but we're going to 24. It says, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been wearied of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with an incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. The main line there that popped out to me is, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. And then, in the consecration of the priests in Exodus 29, which we can call the title, the consecration of the priests, or when it was saying Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. The Lord calling us mighty. Okay, I guess that's why we went in that direction, because the Lord is the Lord wants us to be consecrated to Him as priests and give to Him the fat of our sacrifices, which we'll see in Exodus 29, the different dimensions of the fat. Because if you see many of those offerings, you just see God is quite particular about the fat, and it sounds somehow, because in this kind of fatless society where everybody is trying to gym and do everything, but God is saying, give me the fat, burn the fat, offer the fat, and everything. So it grabs your attention. But then, it's now, how do you put it? I'm just trying to. So in Exodus 29, he exhorts, which we will go to, and he is basically giving the instructions on how to consecrate the Aaron and his sons as priests unto him, to serve him in his tabernacle, in the services of the holy things. But then there's a way that message can come to us at this time, and we begin to think, am I even there yet? Am I worthy to be a priest? What have I to offer? And that's why we took it from that angle as to, though the gospel comes to meet your condition, so it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, even though the person to whom who is receiving that word may feel as though, I'm not sure what you're talking about. The Lord came and is preaching, and the people, you see, sinners, publicans, prostitutes, all manner of conditions. Yet when they came to stop him, he said, are they not called gods to whom the word is come? Meaning, the word, when it comes, it's not as though because you're a God, then you will receive the word. No, the word comes. Because the word is a spirit of God, it comes to make you the very same element of it when you open your heart to receive it. And the Bible says, the just shall live by his faith. So the measure each person has comprehends, there are certain principles in scripture and in the gospel that when we understand, it can cause us to move at different paces in our walk with God. Because he says the gospel is able to make you wise unto salvation. So now, the Lord does not care about your condition or your initial state. He just comes and says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Imagine Gabriel coming to come and meet one of us and just says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. First, it will sweet you that, wow, you know, he called me mighty. But then, the lily sweet you, you now come back to reality and say, but maybe I'm supposed to be mighty. Maybe in God's record, I'm mighty, but look at my condition. And then, that might can now become an accusation where you feel as though, but God expects me to be this, yet I'm not this. But that's one kind of understanding. But the right attitude is like Mary, where he says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. You say, yes, be it unto me according to thy word. I decree in the name of Jesus that I'm mighty. You enforce, if God will say that I'm mighty, then I'm mighty. Every spirit, every power, every voice that is telling me I'm not mighty, you start to give them job on balances. Amen. I meant to put no job on balances. Yes. But you know how it relates to us. Sister, do you know how to use the job on balances?
Pardon me?
Yeah. You don't know how to use the job on balances.
The what?
The job on balances.
No, I don't.
The job of an ass. I mean, Samson used it to deal with the Philistine. So what is interesting is that when we have something that is contentious or contending with us about our estate, we should fight it and say no.
Yes.
I reject that. That is not me.
So basically, the jawbone is like, we were discussing this on the group one time, and I think it was Peace that gave the revelation. The jawbone is basically, without the jawbone, you cannot articulate any word. And so it speaks about your utterances, the spoken word. And I don't think, what does the ass have to do with it, the jawbone of an ass? But then if you just take a simple search through scripture, you find that there's one time as spoke, and he said he forbade the madness of Balaam and rebuked him. So the time a jawbone, the ass spoke, is not for play. He spoke to forbid madness, to rebuke the enemy. To forbid madness, sorry. So when you take the jawbone of an ass and you say, and you see the way Samson smote those guys. I have been using, you know, the jawbone of an ass many times, because when you are faced with the battle of your mind and you just see, I don't know if you have watched the part where the enemy just, all those guys just heaped on Samson and you just keep fighting. So when the Lord comes to you and says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, then another, because in Zechariah, Michael is standing before Joshua. This is the season of divine promotion. And Satan is telling him, no, you have stayed. Satan is not talking to Michael. He's not talking to God. He knows he cannot win there. He's talking to Joshua. You have stayed. Forget that promotion. We know how you got that stayed. You got that. And he will keep telling more the same issue. You got this thing. But then, at such point, when the Lord favors you with the gospel, the good news is to tell you, it's not so much your... He said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you look at Solomon and the way he structured the kingdom, the Queen of Sheba came and she marveled at, wow, look at the way he arranged the whole thing. She saw the standing of his guards at the entrance of the palace and so like, wow. But who designed that they should have their uniform that way? Solomon. Who designed that they should stay in that place? Solomon. There are other things of people and things that were arranged in the entire kingdom whose wisdom was involved in doing it? Solomon. So in the structuring of God's divine kingdom, there are certain things he wills and ordains. So he looked at the earth. There are different things he could have decided to do. He said, let there be light, let the waters be split from the waters, let the earth, and then he's just speaking out his will and things are coming into existence. So if God has come, the gospel is basically this grand plan. This is your lot inside it. So it's now not so much me, but then this is what he has willed for me in his grand plan. If I hear such a thing like that, it is good news to me. First of all, I am mercifully involved in the plan. Second of all, this is what he wants for me. And so any power that wants to speak contrary to it, I have to smite violently. So he says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Say, oh, I'm greater. Your will for me is already mighty. The testimony of your word is that it cannot return unto you void, but it will prosper and accomplish that which you have spoken. I decree according to the word, because the firstborn son gave us the example of how to be established. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. So it will take time and be declaring unto himself the decree till it is established in him. So when you see a word like that, we're emphasizing this because the Lord, I believe, is taking us through a season. We'll finish with the Feast of Trumpets, and he will have us apply that very well, because he says again, the gospel is able to make you wise unto salvation. There is a wisdom, like I was telling a brother, you know, somebody could be journeying, you could see a man, he's moving from, you live at New Delhi. Yeah. Someone is moving from Markham to New Delhi. Like one time, Tumi was riding a bicycle from Macam to New Delhi. So we gave an analogy that, you know, there's somebody that will be really passionate about this journey from Macam to New Delhi. And he will go about this journey with all his heart. He would walk steadfastly. Every step would be at the same pace, and he will walk with all his heart. He will not reduce his pace. He will walk diligently. And you get to New Delhi in about how long? How long would it take to walk from Macam to New Delhi? 40 minutes. Who said 40 minutes?
Me.
Okay, 40 minutes. So, is that guy not faithful? He's faithful, Abby. Very, very faithful. Wait, did someone say he's not faithful? He's faithful now. You guys should agree that he's faithful.
Yes,
he's faithful. He's faithful. But now, there's the anointing of the bicycle. To me, hard. He engaged. How long did it take you to make that journey? 15
minutes.
15 minutes. Now, the person who is walking, is he faithful?
Yes.
Is Tumim faithful?
Yes.
But his own faithfulness cost him how many minutes?
40.
His own was
15 minutes.
You see, now, where did the anointing of the bicycle come from?
Yes.
The gospel. It made him wise unto salvation. There are principles of truth. That's why he says the just shall live by his own faith. The principles of truth that someone will know that will equip her to move. You cannot compare now somebody on the street. Well, I'm going to say that message, but you should not say that. But so there are revelations. So when we're going through the word of truth, which should be the attitude we have at all times. When we come for a Bible study, when we come to listen to a word, when we interact with the Bible in any way, your main goal should be to obtain wisdom for salvation. Now, in as much as there was the grace of the bicycle, myself, Philip, Toyosi, and Uri, we had the anointing of the motor. So, while he was laboring very faithfully, we were too. That's to me. We went to, but there was grace. We just moved. Faithfully. With ease. Now, it sounds like a joke, but it's a way we should begin to look. Then the Bible is not just something to memorize. You're actually looking for something. Where is the, it's like this, I was talking with someone I think so was in the car that day. The person was saying, well, you know, we're supposed to die. Was live to a ripe old age. And the person said that immortality is in the soul. Mm-hmm. That the concept of immortality, as far as the physical is concerned, that is an estate of living, both an unending life, but the higher estate of life is relegated to a realm that is not for here, which was a subject. But basically, what was boiling down to is, what manner of people, if we believe that there is a truth that says the hour is come and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that live, and they that hear shall live. It says, and him that liveth and believeth shall never die. He paused. Believest thou this? So if there are truths like that, first of all, we decide whether we agree or we don't agree. But if we agree, then that's what manner of people ought we to be to attain to that? Now, you will not find the answer anywhere else but in the scripture. So you begin to look for the scripture. It's a spiritual science to which scriptures operate. So you now need to comprehend and understand and apply each principle to be able to see results in your life. Which should be our character when we come for every Bible study, when we listen to a message, you take nuggets and you go through the week. Sometimes I feel down and then I remember a preaching or a song or a principle. And in my mind, I'm like, let me test the power of this stuff. Because I know I'm feeling somehow now. Let me quote this principle. Let me see what it will do. And I've shared some examples where what was the passage that kept by and that very interesting day? I think it was this one where the Lord Jesus was speaking. He says, I delight to. since my ears are that open, I come as it's written of me in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will, O God. And then some other words of prophecy began to come, and the next thing, I find myself prophesying. And then from prophesying, I find, oh man, I think this thing actually works. Because I judge it on how much life it has given me. I saw where I was, I see where I am now, this thing has worked. So that should be our attitude. So as we give diligence in our career, in our studies, if we have a deadline, if we want a better job, if we want to ascend, want better grades, and we do all these things to press, we should also give diligence to find principles. What can I know? What can I see? What can I apply that will make my life easy? Amen. That's one chapter. Let's go to... Actually, not one chapter, it's all in. We'll come and read through, we'll just read through Exodus 29. Another clue like that. You know, there is grace and there is grace. Even in the government, there are different departments. But depending on the regime in power, there are different things that each, the policies that each regime favors more. So if you happen to be in the ministry that is favored by the government in power, you know that your project will receive massive funding. Other people could apply and do different things. You just need to, in fact, you don't even need to have an idea. You just allocate so billion dollars to your portfolio, to your department, and then you cannot think of something. Another person will think and propose, you present one proposal, they'll tell him to bring more, after five proposals before they fund his project. What do I mean? In the department of God, obviously everything is highly favored, but I find that if you would involve yourself in anything that has to do with the nourishing of his people, you know, when he was leaving and he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, if you would just by mistake or consciously be involved in doing that, you would actually find an ease. If you come to the Lord and say, explain this thing to me, for the sake of equipping my brethren, I want to explain this thing to this person so that they can be equipped unto salvation. I desire them to have strength. Please let me see it. Grace will just flow. It's always, if you be involved in anything where your primary goal is to nourish a brother or your brethren, there is express pass. It just breaks the queue if there's a queue. And you will get grace for it. I guess that's another clue. But it's left for us to go and test and see. Which will require us to be a bit more faithful. So that rather than just chill, the kind of nourishment that Bookie wants to give forth, Osi wants to give forth, may be different from the one that the Panto wants to present. So each person has its own unique body. But then the kind of thing that the body in his heart is different from Tumi's heart. But each person has to just allow God move in their hearts. When you would be involved in anything and say, I want to nourish the brethren. I want to build up my brother. When he says, feed my sheep, you will just find a lot of grace.
Amen.
But that's something for us to go and test. Let us read Exodus. I'll just make it plain. You know when he says, thou hast not filled me with the fat of thy sacrifice in Isaiah 43. We'll ask ourselves, what is the fat of sacrifice? And physically speaking, we'll think about fat. How do we get fat in our body?
Not
eating
good food.
Yeah, there is good fat. By eating, when you eat.
Eating good food.
Yeah, when you eat good food, it comes into your body. as fact. Amen. But now, what is? But what is fact?
Storage.
Yes, storage is basically the storage of energy. So when you, that's why when you go to the gym, you have to expend energy because you want to provoke the consumption of the fat. Because the fat is the storage of energy. Amen?
Amen.
So basically, fat is the body's reserve of energy. When you are doing something and you need, maybe you are at a point where you can't readily eat at the moment, and you, the hunger has passed the rent. You know, the hunger, and then you get to the rent where you're not hungry anymore. That's very serious. Now, at that point, the body just goes, begin to consume all the, well, not all, but to start to break down to get energy for itself. So then you can see that since God designed it, when he's referring to fat, offer unto me the fat of your sacrifice, is referring to your energy. And then, interestingly, now, I mean this, you know, purity. Interestingly, the fat is arranged in very interesting places in our body. Amen? Now, these places where the fat is arranged tend to be what makes a person look supposedly, you know, comely.
Belly fat.
Maybe that one is not good. Let's remove that one. Ideally, it should not be. I mean, that one. There's an ideal scenario where somebody is back in the days when they eat and they go to the farm and they do things. They still have fat, but it does not manifest as belly fat.
Yeah.
Yes. Fat in the proper places.
Yes.
Belly fat may, you know, one with me, just is a sign that we need to be faithful. We need to live all the way. Amen. Yes, right. So then, so basically now, fat translates to what?
Energy.
So if the Lord is saying, offer unto me, thou hast not filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, he's now saying that I want you to give me your energy sacrificially. I want you to engage in doing something for me. Whether or not it's convenient for you, I want you to satisfy me with your service by expending your energy for me. And one of the reasons we come here to Exodus 29, we could read the whole thing, but I'll just go straight to 22. And here he's talking about the consecration of the priest, but he now mentions the fat in very interesting ways. In verse 22, again, the premise of this discussion is the consecration of the priest. What is it? Okay, no, let's read verse 1 and then we'll go to 22. It says, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one bullock, young bullock, and two rams without damage. Let me digress a bit. You know, sometimes you read the scripture and then it just sounds so sweet and prophetic. You don't know what it means, but you just recite it. So that's how this verse is like. It's like, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without damage. You don't know what it means, but then you just say, that's what happened one time when I was reading, I think that was at Markham. We see, I just saw the Bible app post a passage. It says, God came from Terah, and the Holy One from Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was as the light, and he had rays coming out from his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. I didn't know what that meant, but then I'm just, man, God gave But then, that attitude though, it's, now, you would see that that's part of what, when we get to 22, he wants you to do that kind of thing in multiple dimensions. In the sense that, I did not understand what he meant, but my excitement, there was something about my, you know, that same tendency towards that verse could be manifested towards, say, in Mercedes Benz, or some other house, or or Tesla, or what are the things people used to show on shoe?
Nissan.
There are certain things that you see physically and your heart just tickles. Oh boy. For this thing, the Robert C.A. Shane, that's a good friend to the car, you know. But then you see the word and then you don't know what it means, but man, God came from Tema. The only one from Mount Para. You just tickle, or even though you have no clue what it means. But that day, the Lord led us through the interpretation. By the time we saw the interpretation, we were completely like, jeez. And then we had a song to go with it. But it was a very, very lovely this thing. But that's basically the way this passage comes to me. I'm sure if I keep dancing with it like that, an understanding will come. Where is it? Take one long block and two rounds. Amen.
Amen.
But now, I don't know what that means yet. We'll come back to it. But the point of coming here is just to show that the promises of Exodus 29 is, this is the thing that thou shalt do to them, to hallow them, that they will minister unto me in the priest's office. So in the context of ministering unto him as priests is where he lists a whole bunch of these things. And then we get to verse 22. And here in verse 22, God looks for all the places where there is fat, the key places, and he called them up. He says, and thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the core, which is fat, above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, that is the fat of the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. Now, I found that very interesting. He lists some other things, and then in verse 25, he says, and thou shalt burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savour before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So, for us, we are a nation of priests. And so, he should not say to us, if you say to us, thou hast not filled me with the fat of thy sacrifice, it's referring to the fact that we are not hallowing, we are not consecrating ourselves to his service. But we have understood that fat represents energy. And so here, you are looking at fat in different places, which I enjoy us to still go back and look at. It says, thou shalt take the fat and the rump. The rump is the tail. If you look at the Greek word, it says the stout part, that is the fat tail of the oriental sheep. But basically, it's a chunk of tail, like it's very fat. And then that is the fat that covers the inward. What is the fat that covers the inward? Anybody have a clue?
Is it the fat over like the intestine?
Yeah, no, but like in terms of what it would mean for us, we know that the fat represents energy. So what would be the fat of the inward?
Is it spiritual?
Is that the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, because it's energy
that
inward. Yeah. What is it doing?
No, but that's like taking like 10 steps ahead. But like let's just take baby steps. Oh, okay, what is your inward?
Your heart.
Yeah. So your heart, your mind, your inner man. So the fat of your inward is the energy that is on the inside. So now what would be the energy of your heart, or the energy of your mind, or the energy of your inner man, that you may not necessarily manifest outward that energy, but what is that?
Your
will, your desire, your intellect, your imagination. So now, you see the way we're talking about, oh, just excited, your passion. That's where he talks out, he says, okay, we'll come to the liver. But then, apparently, for the Jews, because if you look at the Greek, the Hebrew word for the kidney is seen as the seat of emotion. So if you're now saying, give me the fat of the kidney, if you're now saying, give me the strength of your emotion, what does the strength of your emotion mean? So God wants us to be passionate. I was watching, I think it was MasterChef. I was telling my wife about this. MasterChef, and this guy cooked a very nice meal. Gordon Ramsay was the one that was the guy judging the food. And he's supposed to be a good guy, you know, everything. Who knows Gordon Ramsay? It's not important. But Gordon Ramsay was, you know, doing stuff. So this guy cooked this food, and you know he had been preparing for this whole thing, and then he's supposed to enter into this competition, and then Gordon Ramsay gives him the white apron, which is supposed to be like, you have made progress, amen? But then, the fact that this guy stands in front of him and presents the apron with this look of affirmation, this guy is trembling in tears. Like he's crying, like, you know when somebody's passion is involved in this cooking? And it's as though your utmost in life is that Gordon Ramsay should give me approval. And you got it. This guy wanted to just melt. I was thinking that, guys, God created man to have this kind of passion, but I'm sure he preferred to be offered to him. I was imagining that the only thing that can make me be like that is Jesus to stand in front of me and tell me, despite my many inadequacies, well done, son. I'm praying, God. just that in his presence you cannot die. But let me just cry for 1,000 years. Let me just go. Let me take a trick. You just melt. What else are you living for? You're already. So I'm not thinking about God. So now when you now look at the fact of the kidney, he said, offer it to me. So you have to think through the course of, and this is not something you can relegate into the future. Sometimes I'm at work, a little thing could trigger something. Sometimes it's soccer. I'll see maybe soccer news or basketball, Raptors just won, or something. I don't know how many of us have this thing where I just want to fantasize a bit and imagine myself as one very nice soccer player. Yeah. I scored a ball. They brought me in at 87 minutes. We are down 5-0. I just scored like 6 goals. Now, I'm not imagining, but the point is that, am I the only one that does this?
No.
It may not be soccer, it may be basketball, it may be something else, some people are very passionate to be the CEO of their organization. They want to rise to the top. They want to do, They want to do a whole bunch of things. They want to get there. Very passionate, and you imagine yourself as a CEO. Sometimes I imagine myself as president of Nigeria.
Wow.
I just get like tank and the helicopter. Finish Boko Haram. Different things like that. But then, the purpose of doing it is very weird and vague. I just want to. Human beings like to be passionate, whether or not they know it. Somehow, in the cycle of our day, week, month, we desire to be passionate about something. And we pursue. That's why some people blow bombers. They just go and start shouting. And then Manchester versus Arsenal, they can want to beat themselves up. Yet they are not, they are here in Nigeria, they're supposed to be doing, that's what we should do in SS2. So that kind of passion like that, he wants you to give it. Give me your emotion. Where your heart is giving. Like you see somebody have that different, they are different bodies. You just hear that something happened to somebody and you're vexed in the spirit. And all your emotion is welled up. How can that? Is not God the Lord? How can that happen? And then you provoke. You enter into some manifestations nobody needs to know. You just enter into your war room. You close the room. You scatter the tongues like this. You envision the enemy. You come out and you hear testimony. I don't know what happened. The Lord just intervened. Someone is like, Richard, one article on Richard wrote, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. You are ministry, and then the ministry just enter another gear. Just took the person. You must be born again. Like, you know, the way you're ministering to somebody and you cannot, the passion just takes over you that, and you cannot leave this conversation as an unbeliever. And you continue to deliver the word. So there are ways, there are different dimensions. It differs from person to person, but you should search your heart. I don't know about you, but my imagination runs through the course of the day. And sometimes I find myself praying, Lord, please give me something to think about. So because you need to engage your mind with his business. If I want to fantasize, let me imagine. The heavens, his glory cover the heavens. The earth is full of his praise. I imagine we will be holding crusades in the global pass. And there shall be, and you're just imagining the work. It's good expanding. You think, it's my building. I see somebody, that's what I say to my wife. When we come out of the building, I see a person, he's a believer. I say, how do you know he's a believer? I'll be a believer by the time we speak to him. So you just imagine, I say, but can minister to this whole building. I start to imagine, you engage your emotions, then there's the liver. The liver is actually very solid. If you look at the Greek word, but why is it Greek word? A piece has cost. It's Hebrew. The Hebrew word for liver apparently means heavy. And I wonder why. Because it says the heaviest organ. And then if you now look at the same connection with another word, and that talks about heavy, difficult, burdensome.
Yes.
So these are the words used to describe the liver, as though it's a heavy organ, and apparently it does a huge deal of work. It takes a great burden. And how? So if the Lord is saying, "Give me the fat of your liver," it's talking about your capacity to, I guess, bear a burden, like to be heavy for something, to be packed. Like your determination, your resolve for a particular matter, to give your all for something to be accomplished. Like, you know when we say, I don't know how Nigerians get good understanding. Say, man, that guy gets a, like, you know, see, like, yeah. See, like, get liver. Can't get wine. So,
it's not just Nigerians.
Oh yeah, but I shall not be there. They don't say it like that. Can I get mine? So you can endure. Hallelujah. So now when you take that, it should not be. Sometimes when some people are very passionate. Be like to me. B must not enter my grade. A. Have you got B?
B plus.
It's one course, I mean. But B must not show in my grade. That's some people's determination in life. Whether it's, they will not sleep that night, they will give honor every. It cannot happen. Some other people are determined for other things. But it should not be the business of the Lord when we just try. Maybe it's the will of the Lord that, just let it be. But there's a way you're supposed to, you take the same, that Paul. The guy said he preached, and he went. That guy's liver was
very heavy.
He went, he offered the fat of his liver, he burnt the whole thing finished. He burnt the fat and burnt the liver too. He burnt everything unto the Lord. He said, though I'm supposed to be the least of the apostles, I labored more than all of them. You see, the Lord does not tell Paul, why don't you go? No, rather the Lord is redirecting him. Paul is ever going, he's just going. And then he's not going to a particular place, God said chill. But you know chill cannot be just chill, so he slept that night. Then yes, come and help us in Macedonia. So, but you have to check yourself through. Like, the beauty of this thing is, do not let God come and say, but thou has not filled me with the fat of thy sacrifice, especially because you're a priest. So you should, whether it is in fantasizing or in imagination or in giving of, then that talks about your right shoulder. Now, in the right shoulder, it's what they call it. When you think of it in the context of a ram, like in a human being, it's standing like this. But in a ram, you're talking about the front, how do you put it? The front set of his legs. I was just looking for the way the Greek word put it. It says the lower leg as a runner. So there's depending on the animal in question, but even of a ram, these guys are not joking. When that funk is formed, I remember in the village, my uncles buy a couple of rams for Sarah. Not Sarah, it's just in the December. And then they come, before they kill the ram, they will set two rams. They will slap them, bah! They will want to use their forehead.
Yeah, thongs.
Yeah. How many people know this?
Yeah.
But then the point is this, so the power with which they have to pull themselves and launch into a strong heat. That's how they fight among themselves. So we just play with them like that. But the front legs, the back legs have their own ministry too, but the front has capacity to run and to pull his body weight. So you're talking when now God now saying, give me the fact, there are certain tendencies he has put in man. You can see man in movies, in Olympics, in different walks of life, and you smell determination. Even where God will say, if you leave man, he will do nothing that he wants to do that he cannot do. So now God is saying, I want you to, I did not just put it there. There's a song that will say, give of your best. Let me sing it. Give of your best to the master. Give the strength of your youth. I'll start again. Give of your best to the master. Give him the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Ardor is actually a word that means your soul's, your passion. Your soul's fresh, and we as young our people have that passion. You cannot be passionate about something. Your fresh, glowing ardor, throw that passion into the battle for truth. It could be in doctrinal correctness. Practices. It could be in the feeding of God's people. It could be in deliverance. It could be in evangelism. It could be in different departments of the walk of life. You just come into the presence of the Lord and watch what burdens he puts in your heart. It is a clue to your department. And if it is not, but people need to comprehend. People need different, I'll keep talking different things. But the point is, as it comes into your heart, give. That's why I said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. He calls you mighty. Now, how do you get the fat? You eat good food, which comes back to our trumpets. You need to take the word of God and sow it into yourself. When he says sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. That's the analogy of a plot of land. But in the context of fact, you see yourself as a being and you eat it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. When you eat good food, when you pursue after the word of God, when you take after that he says they were following the God of bread, he says, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that which endures to eternal life. When you feed on such word, you'll be full of proper fat, and then you give it in your emotions, in your kidney, in your determination, in your liver, in your strength to labor and to pull forward, in your right shoulder, in your inward part, your imagination, your mind, your intellect. Some people are intelligent. Keep their intelligence to the work of the Lord. We even bless God for this leading where we are split into different groups to just be burdened for the business of the Lord. Those are other practical dimensions where you can give yourself to see how the things of God can be done. Not passively. Not passively. Sometimes you can get very busy with different walks of life. But give your passion, your emotion, your imagination. Imagination is a big one because sometimes you may not necessarily be in ministerial mode. Mode in the sense that you may not seemingly be actively ministering. Say you're at work. or you're at school, you are in class, or you're in the tutorial, you're studying. You're not necessarily talking to somebody or working on any material, but your mind is active. What is it active on? What are the things that tickle your fancy, that excite your imagination? It says, casting down every high thing and imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God should be your primary occupation. In the fact, sometimes you are combusting fat energy. You're consuming mental energy with your imaginations. But you should give it to God. And funny enough, if you do, you see the whole, hopefully it is not a conspiracy theory, but when the Lord was teaching me about take the doctrine of Trinity, for example, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, just unraveling that whole thing, as so is Trinity or not Trinity, and that whole thing. I'm only mentioning that because supposedly a very interesting topic. I was at work, and then I think I listened to the audio Bible, and then my imaginations were just flying. But then as he's flying, he's arranging it, he's working it, he's presenting things like that. So I went to work, I'm working at work, yet understanding is loading. That's not the special effect. It's just the messy. Now, I've not been faithful in doing that all the time. There are times when my mind, you know, is thinking on one of things. But then the Lord should not come and ask us, you have not satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifice. And one that we may be thinking, but do I not begin to run and labor? Do I evangelize to? Before you, there's your right shoulder, yes, there's your liver, there's your kidney, there's everything. But then you can just begin to, your inward, you can just, in your imagination, in another passage in 1 Peter, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Elevate him, hallow him in the course of your imaginations when God walks in as an imagination. All other imagination, you just leave them and just attend to him. Let him be your primary thinking. And when you do that, you feel him. You will see the effect in your life because he hallows. He said, and I would hallow. There's a place where he says, sanctify the tabernacle, sanctify the altar, sanctify. You have to think that these things were just nothing. They were gold in the houses of the different women. But they are brought together, smelted, melted, and all of a sudden, they are hollow. You see, if anything touches it, it is holy. All those kind of things. But it shows that though something can come from the realm of the natural and the dust, there are certain things that can be done where God will glorify. So when we give to him the fat of our sacrifices, it is a requirement for our consecration. When we are consecrated to him, he hallows us, hallows us by that mercy. It, in fact, the hallowing is in the course of our giving him our energy, because his response is, he gives you things to say, he gives you visions, he gives you revelation. He just does things that just creates this aura of holiness around you, where you are a normal person, but then just because of how much of the fat of your sacrifices you are giving, you are eating his word, gaining fat, and offering. The consecration, the hallowing he puts around you sets you apart. And that setting apart is even a testimony in itself, because other people see the setting apart and are inspired to continue to press on. So that would be, long and short, the exhortation. Say, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Then he now says that is what he will have you do, because he has called you mighty. You need not look at yourself and say, yeah, but am I mighty? He says, do not let him say unto you, thou hast not filled me with the fat of my sacrifices. How do you get the fat? You take the word of God and feed on it. Now, do not say, but. Imagine an individual who is without form and void, and darkness is full of inside his deep. How does this person hear the gospel? There's an individual. Someone. There's no someone in this place. Someone. Is there someone?
Oh no.
other name?
Jacob.
There's a guy, Jacob. He's without form, he's void, and darkness upon the face of this individual. Now, many of us may not want to agree, but some of us can relate to Jacob. Amen. But now, how would Jacob react when a messenger of God from on high comes and says to Jacob, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He is without form and void, full of darkness, but yet he is called mighty. What should be his reaction? Well, the rest of it, the voice of the Lord breaking the cedars of Lebanon, the voice of the Lord, and all whatnot. But in this his case, that's okay. If I'm to give, I'm supposed to offer unto the Lord the fat of my sacrifice. How do I even get the fat in the first place? I eat good food. And then you now take the word of God. Some of the very interesting things, Balaam, he said he had some insight, but he gets the little fox of greed, finished him. But he just say, he looks at himself, just as he may have seen in the book of Genesis, where God said, let there be light, and there was. If, rather than doubt the word, you not say, because I am mighty, I would therefore find that might. But how? I would live by the word of God. So I would take the word of God and feed that I may have might manifest in the fact that I shall offer to him. So in that condition, he takes in the word of God. Every word of God he takes in at that point is light. And he begins to change his condition. He says, I am a man whose eyes are open. I am a son of God. He says, I am a man who has seen the visions of the Almighty. I am a man who knows the knowledge of the Most High. It is said concerning me, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this his place. He is divine, and I am the branch. I am an expression of his testimony. I draw from the life of the vine. I find grace to be holy. As he said, so I say, I come, as it is written of me in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will, O God. My ears have thou opened, holiness becometh me. And he continues to prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. And then the Holy Spirit may aid him, say, you don't even know enough scripture. Matrenus ira abdila. And he just goes. Now, he finds himself in another estate. Why? Because there is a man who descended from the first Adam, but there is a guy who descended from the last Adam. When he became born again, except he's not born again, but if he's born again, he has the potential for Christ. And as he begins to sow into it, you must know your destiny in Christ, and then you speak it. So that's why the attitude of the heavens is very... Your attitude must factor the majesty of the Most High. He said, let me be your fear. Let me be your dread. Do not say confederacy with those who say confederacy. Let me be the one. He said, how dare you? What are you afraid of a man whose breath is in his nostrils? God is upset and you are running to and fro as though he can destroy. Wait. So, where is the fury of the oppressor? Am I not here? And then he begins to talk about himself. So we should magnify him. The angel came to Zechariah and told him, you know, you're going to have a child. And I said, I'm not going to have a child. I said, you have a child. I'm not going to have a child. Okay, you're going to be dumb because you do not believe. He said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of the Lord. I left the presence of the Lord to come and give you a message from God, and you dare to disbelieve. Not use that mouth to speak unbelief again until the word is fulfilled. But the point is, you must appreciate, again, this is a case study, brother Jacob. We call him a brother because he's born again. Amen. He's a believer. But he had to, through the course of life, in the pursuit of academics and career and friends and everything, he may have just slipped and slacked. And he found himself in a condition where he's as it were darkness, without form. All his form is lost, void, deep inside. Yet, the gospel comes and says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. What should be his reaction? Rather than saying, that word is not for me. I have been this. I am this. I am not mighty. Rather, you should remember, but God said, let there be, and there was. He says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shining and has to give unto the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, who is the Word of God. So when we take the Word of God and we prophesy, blessed be the glory of the Lord. I remember a time I just kept reciting that thing to myself. Blessed be the glory of, that's what you said in Ezekiel, where he says, and the glory of the Lord move. And there was a sound of a great rushing. He said, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. And said, how about that, a temple of God? Let that testimony be said concerning me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. That the glory of the Lord flowing from me should be blessed. And you take many other words and prophesy. Because he said, I come in the volume of the books as it is written concerning me. What are the things written? Every expression of the Spirit of God in the whole scripture, old and new. It says, and all things are of God. But it says, he shall take of me. He says, he'll take of me because all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, every manifestation of the Spirit in the old and the new is of Christ. If it is of Christ, it is of me. Why? Because I am forgotten in him. So because I am in him, I can quote all those things. And so everything written that looks marvelous is written concerning me in the volume of the books. We must be able to take, it's a good exercise, you take, open any passage and just use it to prophesy. I decree over my life. And you just begin to prophesy. Brother Jacob is just receiving rays of light, hitting him from different angles, different, he can blast into tongues, the heavens will open, floodlight to pour upon him. He can break forth into singing and find grace to approach his heavenly Father. He may find grace to yet cry for all the past and everything that has gone. He will plead the blood, he will wash himself, now he will stand. And all those his oppressors shall, I will pursue my enemies, I will destroy them. I will not turn until they are consumed. How to say, take the jawbone of an ass, take the javelin, take the sword, everything, will pursue every spirit, every speaking voice, every oppression of darkness that has held him down in bondage. Sometimes the person wants to rise, but their position is smite. All how? With the spoken word. How did Jesus fight? In Revelation chapter 19. He says, and he opened his mouth and his sword came out of his mouth. So the word of God is as a sword, and you just keep speaking. We must be a most prophetic generation. You speak. Ezekiel was faced with dry bones, and he said, how can this be? He said, this is how you do it. You speak. Brother Jacob, by anointing, he cannot afford that depth to begin to walk. It will be a long journey from Hades to heaven. Neither can he even afford to ride a bicycle. He cannot even afford to drive. But there's the anointing of Philip. There's capacity to just just teleport. How many people know this divine technology? God, you don't believe.
We believe.
You believe. Good. So that means you need, because then the enemy tells you mechanics. It's very first. Deception and temptation, you find yourself there. You don't want to go. Condemnation, you don't have the mind to come. And then it keeps holding you down there. You don't set your face that I'm going to come. And I say, look how far you have to go. You make it. But we know that you will still fall before you make it to even this junction. My life, but you continue to begin. But it's anointing to teleport. Because you cannot afford to ride a bicycle. You cannot afford to walk. You cannot afford to drive a car. Even a plane may still take a long journey from Hades to heaven. But in him, he says he is the fullness of the Godhead made bodily. He is the vine, I am the branches. If that is true, I just draw life. I walked by. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. The measure that brother Jacob knows, immediately he keys into his mind that I am a branch. Except I'm cut off. But if I'm still a branch, I'm connected to the vine. I draw the life of Jesus Christ. As it is of him, so it is of me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am holiness unto the Lord. I delight to do thy will, O God. How did he put it? I thank thee, O Father, because thou always hears me. And you begin to quote, and just, this thing should not be far-fetched, especially for Nigerians, because the bad guys do it a lot. They will just take incantations and quote, yeah. And they will do a whole bunch of stuff like that. Amen. So here, he said, the children of this world and their generation wisely. We must understand the provisions of grace. I say that example, it looks like a joke, the bicycle, the car, everything, because sometimes the enemy will deceive your conscience to feel more justified walking.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, let me labor this walk. Let me walk. Let me walk. But then, Jesus has walked the walk. In his Alpha and Omega, he holds the beginning and the end of the entire destination in himself. Just enter into your reality. Bro Jacob, if he understands properly, another person may take some time. That's why he talked about all these truths constitute oil. They all slept, the wise and the foolish. But the foolish, their own principle of oppression, the oil of their understanding and of the grace upon them was too light to, from sleep to readiness for the bridegroom, the gulf you need to shift. The oil they had could not afford that kind of oppression. They did not have the ticket for such divine technology at that moment. But there is a way you understand and you store and you press on, which is what we should pursue. Now, it's not that the application should always be rising from death to life all the time. There's a measure of understanding to which you have that even your so-called life is death relative to another level of life. So we should keep pressing. We should keep pressing. We should keep pressing unto righteousness, unto righteousness. May the Lord help us. The burden is we should give unto the Lord the fat of our sacrifices, our energy. Give it to him. But peradventure we feel unworthy to give, we should take the word of life, which is light, which will fill us and give us capacity, and then we'll continue to give. Because in him, we are everything we are supposed to be already. We just have to believe. We just have to enter into that reality. May the Lord help us. And Father, we ask that you, breathe upon your word in our hearts. We ask that you help our understanding. We ask that you help us to give unto you the fat of our sacrifices. Help us to magnify you. He said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Help us to appreciate the power in your word. Help us to use it above all the power of the enemy, which are no power, and help us to be able to attain. Help us to make great strides in you, O God, by the application of these things. Favor us with understanding, with help. Help us to be diligent to guard our hearts with all jealousy, defending it with the spoken word, resisting every intrusion of the enemy. Strengthen every weary hand, O God. Help us to arise by the power of your word. And help us to shine. Help us to live for you. Help us to magnify you in our imaginations. Help us to magnify you in our passion. Help us to magnify you in our emotion. Help us to magnify you in our determination, in our mind. Help us to magnify you in our strength, in the things we choose to engage ourselves in. That we would give our all for you, O Lord. We would love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul, with everything that we have. in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have said unto us, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. We believe it. We say in the name of Jesus, we are mighty.
Amen.
We receive capacity to give unto the Lord glory and strength. The glory that is due to the Ancient of Days. Because there are some people that cannot give. Depending on the person receiving, you cannot just give. There are certain people that you cannot just buy any gift for. The estate of the person determines the level of the riches of the gift. So if to mere men it is said, give to the Most High, then there is capacity from Him for us to give. Therefore we say, indeed we are mighty.
Amen.
We receive the elements of God and divinity to give divine gift to the Almighty God.
Amen.
King of Israel, we have no power of our own. You have been enjoining us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you, O God. We look to you. We look to you. We believe that you will indeed save us.
Amen.
Your name, Jesus, means Jehovah will save.
Amen.
And you are the Word of God. This salvation that you have been sent for to accomplish in our life, it shall not return void, but you will accomplish it in our life.
Amen.
We believe. Father, let every root of unbelief, every veil of darkness, of deceit, of the oppressions of the enemy, over the minds of anyone here, we plead the blood of
Jesus.
By the power and the blood of Jesus, we say to such veil and oppressions of deceit of darkness, it is finished.
Amen.
We acknowledge, we receive open heavens. Let us all receive faith. Increase, increase, increase our faith, O Lord. See, we are saved by grace through faith, and even that faith is not of ourselves, it is a gift. We receive the gift of faith to believe and to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We appreciate you in the name of Jesus.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.